My name is John Lund, and as I indicated in my initial introductory podcast, I'm having a series of conversations with people that you may know, maybe you don't know, who I find to be kind of interesting as they start reflecting on their own personal life history and the spaces that they have inhabited over the course of their life. The first series of interviews come from my conversations with about five or six different people on the Big Island of Hawaii. I don't know what you think about when you think about the island of Hawaii. Tourism, aloha, grass skirts, luau's, and so on. Well, the Big Island of Hawaii is a bit different, although it does have some of those same tourist trappings. You've got huge ranches, you've got farms, you've got beautiful mountains, you've got snow-capped mountains, you've got beaches, you've got black sand beaches, you've got green turtles, you've got whale sightings. I mean, it's an extraordinary place, and let's not forget, you've got an active volcano as well. In my first conversation, I speak with a guy named Cliff. And Cliff, I've come to know through my family, actually. My wife worked with his daughter at a school in Pahala, Hawaii. And Cliff has been on the island raising a family, he and his wife, for about 40 years or so. They've come out of California, initially had moved to Maui, and then got to the Big Island. And Cliff has made his living by investing in real estate, buying properties, and because he's got a construction background, maintaining those properties, and his wife has been in education locally. They have two kids who are grown, and currently Cliff is the owner of a 30-acre piece of property just up from Beach Road on the Puna side of the island. And he and I spoke for about an hour and a half or so, sitting in a couple white plastic chairs in the shade, looking over the swaying grasses and the trees and a variety of cattle and feral pig. And of course, the Pacific Ocean stretched out in front of us with these big puffy white clouds floating across the horizon. Cliff and I spoke about his coming to this land, the things he learned while trying to farm or ranch or take care of this land, and about his life in general. As I edited this down to about 20 minutes or so, there's some clicks and blips and so on, but I think it's fairly coherent. My title for this interview would be The Herd Quitters. I think Cliff represents that group pretty well. So enjoy, and thanks for listening.
We came down here, and you know, life went on. My kids were about high. My boy was in high school. My girl was just starting college, I think, maybe still in last year of high school.
Yeah.
And we decided, you know, we had rentals, we had money. You know, we were thinking values were starting to go up. We're going, gosh, let's just get a piece of land. We'll build a nice house on it and move out of here and you know, build a new another nice house and you know live on a piece of land like we always wanted to do. Uh-huh. My wife had some health issues.
Uh-huh.
And so I promised her I'd do that, so I kind of wanted to fulfill my promise. I tried to be a person of my word, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I grew up that way. Samurai like that, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to do something, I'm gonna, you know?
Not just talking.
No, you can count on me, yeah. Almost to a bad way. Yeah. If I say, I've got to watch what I say, because I'm gonna do it, you know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
And so I'm just that way. And so I told her, you know, I'd get her, when she almost died of like brain cancer. And I told her at that time, I go, when you get through all this, we'll get a piece of land.
When know? Was that? Was that a while ago?
Yeah, that was when the kids were little.
Whoa.
Kids were elementary school.
That's dangerous stuff.
Yeah. And we didn't know anybody over here. And it was pretty scary.
Was she going to hospitals here or in Honolulu?
We went
or?
To San Diego and got the surgery.
Okay.
It was a real, we just got lucky and a real good deal, you know.
That's so cool. Yeah. I'm glad that worked
out. The guy
out
donated,
well.
He was a top surgeon. He donated it to us, so it didn't even cost anything.
I don't know,
I guess he liked us or something.
Whoa.
We met him over, and he was doing a seminar. He was giving a seminar over in Kona.
Okay.
And we flew over and met right. him in the lobby. And he set everything up and gave it to us for free. What a nice guy, huh?
Oh, man, yeah.
He had heart.
What a nice guy. Yeah.
Yeah, he probably had all kinds of money already.
Saved a life.
He taught people how to do these types of surgeries. And he just gave it to us. Maybe he saw something in her or something.
Well, that's cool. That's so great. Yeah. So that's kind of a repeating story
yeah,
in your
yeah,
life.
Yeah. So
if you get engaged
yes.
with people, you're going to find great people.
So
right?
that's why you want yeah. our philosophy. My wife's the same way. She's got a big heart to help people.
Yeah.
All the kids, all Hawaiian school, they all, all the kids all the time, Hawaiian, you know, they can hardly speak English. You know, I mean, they can, but they're
right.
they're hardcore locals. They're always telling her, you know, you did so much for my children here in the store somewhere.
Very cool.
Yeah, she'd continually get stopped by people and they're telling her, because she did out of heart, just like that man did her brain surgery out of heart.
Absolutely.
And so that goes a long ways. And so I still try to be that way.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, if you have.
See how that is? You know how it is.
Yeah,
same way.
If you're able to stand on your own 2 feet, what's wrong with
nothing.
Making the world
you should,
better?
You're supposed to. That's a harmonious decision. I tell everybody.
Yeah, you
need to make harmonious decisions. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And true to yourself, and try, like I was saying earlier, and you'll make mistakes, but you'll pretty much make harmonious decisions. So anyway, we're looking at Atlanta, the kids are growing up, and you know, years go by, you know. Yeah. We started looking at Atlanta, Pamukkah, and the kids were still young in school. And I thought, you know, I don't have enough money coming in, because I got to work all the time, drywall still, and rentals. You know, I'll have to work on this land, I won't be able to do all my drywall jobs, make money. So that's one of the things that goes with this thing we're doing right
here.
You
got to be able to.
You need some passive money. In order to do something like this. So when we started, my kids got to now, years go by quick.
Right.
When they went from elementary school to high school, it's just a few years. And so now that we're older, we see that.
Right.
So then they're in high school, like boys in 10th grade or something. Yeah. We're looking for land, and the prices were going up. It was like 2004 or something, and all the land prices were going up. I couldn't even get realtors to show me land. And my boy saw that, so I'd given up. I told her, you know what, forget it, man. It's just, we'll go buy lots around the island and nice stuff, do nice places and build nice quality houses and sell them for good money. I said, forget the land, you know, it's just, we can't even find it. We looked at all kinds of land, I go, we can't even find any place.
Getting crowded out,
Yeah, it was just like that. So, and about the time I gave up, my boy goes, he's looking at the paper, he goes, hey, there's a piece of land right down here on Beach Road. You know, and the price sounded like cheap to me compared to what I knew this land.
Yeah.
Because I was diving down here all the time.
Really. Okay.
I went, wow, it's got to be that place. That cheap?
Kind of knew where you were. Yeah,
I went, how
can
that be? It can't be. That's a killer place. And so I looked into it, and sure enough, it was a place. We went down and looked at it, and I started getting antsy, butterflies, started getting scared. I go, ooh, man, this is a lot of work, man. I had like enough houses to pay for my income, but I was like 50, 52 or something.
That's aggressive at 52, man, to look at land like 52. This and go,
well, I looked,
you knew what kind of work.
But I was still in good shape. I was surfing all the time. And I'm drywall, and you know, I felt really good about being a hard worker. This place was overgrown, all the fences were down, the trees everywhere. I saw all these trees along the edge there, and I started going, man, they're gonna be falling on the fence. Well, the fence was destroyed. And I go, man, I'm gonna be fighting those trees. And I started seeing all the things. I lost about 40 pounds, man. When I first got it, we bought it, it went through escrow, and they went off to Mexico on a trip, my daughter and my wife with her sister and brother-in-law on a surf trip. And I had to stay here.
Right.
And I was just looking at weeds. I couldn't even drive down the road to the beach and enjoy myself because I was just looking at the weeds, going, weeds, 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 trees. Oh my God, weeds. I became aware of weeds. All like, you're not aware of them. I am. And I had this horrible anxiety. I had anxiety. I couldn't eat. I couldn't eat, man. I lost weight.
You're
I wake up, I couldn't sleep. I had to try to put my mind somewhere else.
Big job.
It was horrible. Yeah, job. What have I got myself in? I knew nothing about cattle. I knew nothing about fences. I didn't have chainsaws. I didn't know about chainsaws. I didn't have weed eaters. I didn't have any of that then. I'm just stepping into something I knew nothing about. But I saw all these bush. I didn't know how to deal with any of it. This goes into what we're talking about, what you want to hear. And I'm going, oh my God. But I knew construction. I knew building.
You knew how to work.
I knew how to work hard, and I knew construction. I knew
the
how
land.
To hunt. I knew how to hunt.
The land,
I knew how to hunt and fish. And that had nothing to do with farming or maintenance or ranching. I didn't know cattle. I didn't know what to expect them. I didn't know their habit. Now I know their habits. I didn't even know what to expect them. I didn't know how to warm them. I didn't know what to do, how to keep them if they got out. I didn't know what to do. Yeah, it's like being a farm boy and walking into the ghettos. I didn't know anything. And I saw this whole place was weeds. All this was just whole trees and weeds. So I'm a, what they call coconut head, hard head, like I told you. I'm gonna be that way. Like it's in football, you get me close to that goal line, 10 yards, I had
I'm
a touchdown.
Yeah,
I already knew
in.
I had a touchdown. That's why I was successful.
Yeah.
It's just about it. I just started doing it, man.
A little bit of time.
For 6 months, I had horrible anxiety. I was just miserable. I was just miserable. My wife's trying to talk me out of it. Yeah. Then I go, I'm going to start planting trees. Because the sooner you plant, the sooner you harvest. And I go, I'm young. I want to be able to, when I'm 60, be able to have some trees in production. Otherwise, if I wait until I'm 60 and do everything else, then I won't enjoy the harvest. So I started planting trees. And there are cattle all around the tree, so I didn't know how to do the trees without the cattle eating them. Figure that problem out. Started planting some citrus over here, fenced in like this. And so I went over there and I started planting some trees and putting small little wire things around them. And the cattle weren't eating them. It was kind of, and everything was working on the trees, went for 2 or 3 years. And as soon as I started planting trees, my anxiety left. And we're talking about this consciousness that goes in. I realized, what was the surprise that I realized? I realized that when I'm doing positive things, it was fun. And when I'm doing worrying about negative things, it was miserable. Yeah. See what I mean? So I go, well, wow. When I'm planting trees, all of a sudden I'm having fun, and my anxiety left. And then when I start worrying about trees and weeds and all that kind of stuff, then my anxiety comes back. So I started planting trees just to relieve myself of anxiety. I started going, this is fun. Then I started having all these like schemes and plans and challenges about how am I going to keep, you know, the trees to grow and fertilize them, and how many more trees can I get. So I'd buy about maybe 6 trees at a time or 8 trees at a time, and then I'd plant the holes.
Put them in the back of the truck and...
Bring them up, and I just dig some holes and plant them, you know. Because a lot of times you stick it in, it's just a big flat rock. So I had to find a spot. I wanted to make it so the cattle could feed through the trees and still have open areas to graze, they can also go underneath the trees. My plan was originally the trees got big, they'd go underneath the trees, and then they crap to get out. They use the trees for shelter, and that fertilized the tree. So I wouldn't have to, you know. I wanted to set that up that way.
Full cycle.
So I couldn't do it like where you just plant them in rows or whatnot. I wanted to keep the pasture look, but have trees. And I figured, you know, even if I die, whatever, they're feeding the animals or. You know, some care comes in later on when I'm older. They have some trees that they can do something with. That's food for the family.
Amazing amount of food.
Or even just growing. It's a positive thing. Even if I'm not benefiting, it's still a positive thing. So I was feeling good. I realized, wow, I'm happy. So I started getting into planting trees everywhere. And then I got some new cattle in. I had some of mine doled, and I had a cowboy I was working with. He had some real cheap cows from another place.
Where's
that was going under.
Who's this cowboy?
Jeff Cabral, his name is. Yeah. He's a real good guy, another giving person.
Okay.
I just got lucky. He was a friend of a teacher's, her husband, and he was young. He was like 30, and he was just a real giving guy, a real solid, and he knew what he was doing. And so he helped me with understanding the cattle, helped me working with them. It made me feel secure with that, right?
He'd tell you about how many to bring
Well, he'd
in.
Tell me what to do. Well, we had, I bought the herd with the property.
Okay.
I bought the herd with the property, but they were old and skinny, and the pasture was overgrazed down below, and no grass, bald grass. So they were kind of like dying. And anyway, he helped me with that, shipping them and what's going on, castrating them. And
so what is the herd, like 14, you said? 14,
right
15?
Now, yeah, one time I had 37 in here with little ones and everything. Bought it.
And is that just a matter of natural
and now,
stuff?
Yeah, or? Well, now I realize that get the herd down.
Okay.
And then they don't stress the pasture so much. And then I don't stress feeding them and taking care of them. I don't have to feed them. And the pasture actually grows up more because they don't hammer it. And overgrazing causes problems. So anyway, so I'm trying to get by that. Even right now, so it seems like a little bit much. It's,
any ideas on how many trees you ended up planting?
Almost 100.
100 trees.
Yeah. And see all these little things I had to put up? So I got some new cattle, came in with my friend, and all of a sudden they were from another place, another parcel, and they ate trees. So all of a sudden they started eating my trees.
The
other ones never ate my trees because they didn't know about it. And these guys came down and started eating trees. And the other ones go, you can eat those?
Yeah, let's start eating.
Yeah, and I swear to God, it was so weird.
They
taught the other cattle to eat the trees.
Oh, no.
And so I came down and go, what am I going to do now? God dang it, man. I thought they weren't supposed to eat these trees. They weren't eating it. But then I had to build this fence here off all those trees I have over there. I wanted to have water up. So I used to cut the weeds in there, like about 2 acres. I used to cut it all the time. Every 3 or 4 months, I have to cut it with the weed eater. And then my friend, the cowboy guy, gave me this grass. He goes, put this grass in. He goes, it'll overgrow everything, and the cattle love it. So I took some of the grass. I fed it to the cows. They loved it. So I just put a few sprigs over here about 5 years ago, and it's pretty much overtaken most of the area. I haven't hardly cut anymore. Just sticking in the ground, kind of, it's come in runners. I just put a couple in runners.
It's so fertile,
it just
goes. 2 to 6:30, is that when you're out here working the land?
Lately, because my granddaughter not working so much. Still, so some of the times that when she's somewhere else, I'll come and I'll just work in the daytime. But I noticed it burns me out a lot more.
And
I got some skin cancers that I wouldn't ever had before. I was getting older. Summertime, I'm telling you, this place is intense, hardcore.
Yeah, no breeze.
Oh, no, it's just hot. Especially down there. Even though you don't know it, you get reflection off that ocean. There's all kinds of extra rays bouncing from out there. You don't realize it, but they are.
So basically, you own this land since when?
2004 is when we bought it, June of 2004. And then
massive amount of work.
So. Yeah, but some of the hardest things, you know.
Yeah, well, the cows.
Well, the cows were hard, but the hardest thing, I knew the trees would be difficult. They fall on the fences and stuff, you know.
Right.
You always got to learn chainsaws and cutting them off and maintaining the fences.
The beginnings here and discovering that a tree was like a source of peace.
Yeah, it
a
was bit for me. You. Planning was. I like that part of it.
A lot of different things that are a part of peace.
Well, right here where we're sitting is where me and my wife sit a lot. And this is a spot, you know, even the dog comes up and will lay here. We call them power spots. I'm hunting from a kid.
Yeah,
there's certain spots you'll come underneath a tree overlooking a place or something, and it's special, and you go, that's where you sit to rest. And we call them power, me and my friends used to always call them power spots because that's why you go there. That's why you're attracted to it in the first place. And other animals and things are too. The dog lays here for some reason.
Yeah.
Well, I mean?
I'm picking it up. Well, remember when I asked you, I said, hey, you know, you're out here for 7 hours or 5 hours or whatever.
Yeah, right, like that, right.
You know, what are you thinking? What's going on?
Everything, but usually it's kind of, I can drop into some heavy thoughts, like you're saying.
Yeah.
And in a way, I when I think back on, was it worth it? Is this worth it or not, really? And
well, what is all that? Yeah, you got that running through your head.
I know, and I do think.
You got
think,
that running through your head.
And I do think, when I think, is it worth it or not, all this work? Because there's so much work for you. Hey, I can go buy meat, man. I've still been hunting. I don't hunt anymore because I don't have time. I see pigs. I don't even care about killing them. Beef, you know. But I don't hunt anymore because why just go kill stuff to kill it? You know, I'm not like that. And I don't dive anymore. I don't surf anymore. So all these things I identified with who I was my whole life or not. But then I look back and I go, but what is life to do different things? So so now I've learned all this other stuff that I never would have known about. I would have never known about cows. I dig cows. Cows are cool.
Yeah.
Cows are so peaceful, so mellow. They got such a neat personality.
Tell me some things you learned about cows.
They're characters,
you're
man.
You're telling me that they're smart.
Oh, yeah. I feel they're really smart. Especially, we had a bull down here, the last one that died not too long ago.
Yeah.
The old one, he was here when I got here. He was young. He was so smart. He just pick up on the smallest of little things, like you wear a hat or a certain car drives by. You know, he just knows what's up going on. They're very, very, he was very attuned to everything that's going on.
Yeah.
Highly attuned.
Yeah.
You know.
Now when you're hunting, that's one thing. You know that there's
bucks and males are usually that way.
Yeah,
the
there's some cagey animals out there and stuff like that.
But, yes, and he was like that.
You don't hear that
he was like that. Oh, he was like that. He was like that big time.
Really interesting.
And certain cows are that too. We call them herd quitters.
Okay.
Herd quitters. They don't follow the herd.
Okay.
It's just humans are like that too sometimes. But everybody follows what everybody else does. But the herd quitter in a ranch situation is a problem.
Okay.
Because just like the people at ranch us, they want us all to go the way they want us to go and do, right?
But
you got the ones that are rebels that think for themselves that go, I'm not going to go down that chute. I already see you guys are trying to focus us all down here. I'm going the other way.
And they'll literally.
And all the other ones are just going along following the other one. But yeah, certain ones are herd quitters and they're problems because then the other ones see them and go, huh, why is he running? I'm going to run too. The herd, because herd followers will follow the herd quitters sometimes.
Sure.
You see what I mean?
That's a bad leader.
Right, so you have to get rid of the herd quitters, I hate to say it. That's what they do in society too.
Hey,
that's what they do in society.
They lock them up. Yeah.
So I always apply what the cattle and herd cattle do to, that's how people are. You got the ranchers and you got the cattle.
Yeah.
That's how it is in society.
You can be interested in the herd quitters.
I respect them, but they're a problem for if you're a rancher. If you want to control what the herd's doing.
Now you pull fruit. Obviously, we're still working through the fruit. Thanks again
for
all that. How long have you been harvesting food off this?
Well,
place?
Actually, right off the bat, there were some trees over here.
Okay.
And so right off the bat, we were harvesting some of that, and my wife would always stay being positive like she is. She'd always say, oh, wow, you know, look how much food this place is giving us. We come out of here, we got food to give to people. And I go, that is true, you know, it makes me feel better. I go, that is cool, that is a cool thing. It's a lot of work though, you know, but it is a cool thing, you know. That's why I like giving it to you guys, see what I'm saying? I give it to people along the road, I don't even know. If I'm driving down the road, like, I got a whole nother load since I saw you, I've got a whole nother load, yeah. But I got driving down the road and I see people, even if they're like, you know, druggies or, you know, probably even people that cause problems.
Right.
I always pull up and say, hey man, you want some oranges? I figure, you know, these people, like, it could always help to put a little aloha, a little of that into them.
I met somebody, a local on the other side of the island the other day. Her job was to kind of maintain this little park on the Captain Cook area there. And she was talking about that same spirit where
Yeah. She said, you know, I see some people, you know, and if they're walking around, I'll ask, hey, do you need some, you want some breakfast?
You know,
come on in.
Cool, though.
You got to stop.
Totally cool.
But that's cool. That's right. What she would do, right. Just like what you're
right.
talking about.
But that's a good thing. I tell people, I go, you gain individually, spiritually, because it makes, if you're a giving person, when you give, you immediately at that point feel good.
Absolutely.
So when you do that, so it's just an item. It's just a material thing, and you have it. So why not feel good and have them feel good? Yeah. And you know what? They may get a bunch of oranges and they're grinding them and they're going, oh, that guy was cool, man. The auntie and uncle, they're cool, man.
Yeah.
And it might keep you from having problems from the people later. Or absolutely. They just pass that being cool on to somebody else.
Yeah, yeah.
You know how it is.
So
me and my wife should talk about it. If this place here can help, if some of the bounty from this place can help, do that, that's a good thing.
For the most part, you just give it away. Very little.
A guy called this morning and wanted some bananas to buy, you know. So I told him I got a few stocks. Maybe I'll go down and pick a couple more. There's not too much right now. I just, like, the money part is okay. It maybe buys fertilizers, but it's almost more trouble than it's worth. I can make so much more money doing other stuff.
Yeah.
And for the time and the effort, it's like, you know, it just really doesn't pay off, you know.
How often do you and your wife get up here?
Me, I'm up here quite a bit, but with the baby lately, it's...
Oh, that's right.
She comes maybe once every couple of weeks. You know? I always get on her about not coming up enough. But like me, I'm working a lot up here, so for me, it's a task.
Yeah.
But during the task, like you said earlier, I'm learning things. I kind of enjoy it because I like the hills. I've always liked country. I've liked the hills. Sometimes when I'm really sweating hard and breathing hard, I lay right here on the grass, just look up at the sky through the leaves. It's kind of like what I do when I'm hunting.
Right.
I want to take a break.
Just take some time.
Well, you're in nature, you know. Yeah. I like that. I like being natural, you know.
Got a story to tell you. So I got an email from a friend of mine. He's our age back in Minneapolis. He's a wine salesman is what he is, but great guy, loves the outdoors. It's minus 12 Fahrenheit in Minneapolis
this week,
right? So midnight, you know, his wife goes to sleep. His kids are gone and grown. He sends an email out, he goes, last night, sends it to the guys. He goes, last night, took a walk outside, bundled up.
Felt good.
Laid down in the backyard.
Felt great.
Looked up at
the stars.
That's
what I'm talking about.
And he said, it's great to be alive.
That's what I'm talking about. I do that. I do that.
He said, it's great to be alive.
Sometimes I do that here, and that's why I say, you know what? Even though it's all this work and everything, I go, man, this is kind of like when I'm hunting. I get the same, see the breeze. I go, I just get the same feeling. And that's what it's about, really.
Absolutely.
Really what it's about, to tie into that, if you can.
Absolutely.
When you're working a lot, you don't, but you do. Even like when I'm weeding, you know, I'm always thinking about how can I get the good grasses to grow.
Right.
And then you come and you look at it. So a lot of times you're let down, and sometimes you think things work, and you're happy, you know.
Right. And, you know, are you going to make a huge mistake here somehow? I mean,
weeds are the biggest problem.
Yeah.
New weeds coming in that I can't control. And I don't like herbicides. I use them, but I don't like them. I feel that's going to be, that's one of the things that I feel like I'm going against. What I've spent my whole life staying away from that stuff.
Right.
And since I got this, I stayed about half the time, about first 6 or 7, 8 years, I didn't touch them.
Right.
And I slowly started getting into them a little bit. And I use them more and more. And now I got like a... plants trying to invade over there that are a nightmare. They'll take over my whole pasture.
Do you know what they are?
Yeah, so I'm thinking, man, I gotta start an herbicide program to keep that out, or it'll take over the whole pasture.
Now, do they have herbicides that aren't the most effective or the most costly?
That's how it works. Agent Orange is the best.
Agent Orange.
It is. Agent Orange is the best.
The least effective are the most.
That's true.
Friendly.
The one that they use, that's Agent Orange, is the one that works the best.
Hey, man. This has been great. I'm going to check out and take off a little bit.
Good.
Cliff, what a great talk.
Yeah, man.
Thanks a lot.
Well, Cliff has got his hands full right now because there's a whole lot of volcano action going on near his neighborhood. Somehow I think he's going to be okay. Hey, thanks a lot for listening today. And if you find the time to make a comment where it's appropriate down below, do so. And I'll be sharing more stories with you soon from the islands of Hawaii.